Genesis chapter 3. We'll be reading together verses 23 and 24. Genesis chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. We'll read the verses in unison. And shall we stand, please, for the reading of this passage? We'll be turning to yet another verse after we read these verses. And let's read together, please. Ready? Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Turn now to the book of Luke, the second chapter. Luke chapter 2, page 1073 in your Scofield Bible. Page 1073. We'll be reading the 14th verse of chapter 2. Likewise, we'll read this verse in unison. And so let's read, please. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And let's pray. And Lord, thou art good to us. Thank you for your great goodness. Thank you for your great gift. Pray that you'd bless now in this service to the salvation of many, to the help of many. Thou hast blessed the preaching and the hearing of thy word, please. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak this morning on the subject, the first Noel. The first Noel. And it comes from the first Noel, which, if I can find it here, it says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You're looking this morning at the worst special day speaker in the world. I don't particularly like special days. I like regular days. You're looking this morning at a fellow who the hardest thing I do is make myself bring a Christmas message. And the second hardest thing I do is make myself bring an Easter message. And I just like to bring messages, that's all. And But I'm going to bring this morning a Christmas message. However, it's not going to be one of those sweet little Christmas sermons that you want to hear. I'm going to ruin your Christmas this morning. I'm going to destroy it, totally destroy it, and ruin it. Everything's wacky. In fact, everybody's crazy but me. Have you noticed that? Everything is so wacky. We Christians don't understand the Christmas story. Most of the fellows that wrote the songs we sing as Christmas carols, they didn't understand the Christmas story. This morning I'm going to talk about the first Noel, and I'm going to shoot full of holes what you normally think. The a multitude of heavenly hosts sang glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now that's the first Noel, the first Christmas carol, our first Christmas song. Father, bless our message this morning. I do so want to get the real meat of Christmas. I don't want to get the froth of it and the broth. I want to get the meat of it. And I pray this morning you'd help us to do so. Bless our message and give me the hearing of the people. In Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned last Sunday night how that, in fact, I asked you, some of you, how many of you knew what the word First Noel, the term the First Noel means. Several years ago, our choir sang the First Noel. And I got to thinking, I wonder what that means, Noel. But I was ashamed to tell anybody. I didn't know what it meant. And I thought, now, boy, and the people in the church find out, I don't know what the First Noel means. This is about 3 years ago, been preaching 37 years. And they're going to say, good night, our preacher is so dumb. So I very shyly called Miss Colston on the phone. I said, Elaine, I hate to admit this, but I know that you won't tell anybody. You know how shy Elaine is. And I said, I know you won't tell anybody, but Elaine, what does the word Noel mean? And she said, and Elaine didn't know what it meant either. So we checked with Brother Bordway. He's the choir director. He's the guy that led the song a while ago. And Brother Bordway, we don't want to seem dumb, but don't tell anybody how dumb we are. And what does the word Noel mean? Well, he was as dumb as we were. He didn't know either. Just the whole choir. I asked the choir, what does the word Noel mean? Nobody in the choir knew what the word Noel mean. But the word Noel. And so I came to the congregation. I don't think anybody here knew what the first Noel meant. And finally, somebody came across that it means the first Christmas song. The first Noel means the first Christmas song. And this was it right here. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, I'm going to take that one little verse this morning, and I want to explain it to you. And I want you to listen to me. And carefully, as I explain to you the wonderful, wonderful truth of the first Christmas carol ever sung. Now, to understand this, you've got to go back to the Garden of Eden. Now, don't wander now. Look right at me. Keep your mind right with me, and don't let your mind wander now. To understand what it means, this first Noel, this first Christmas song, this first Christmas carol, you've got to go back to the Garden of Eden. Man had sinned. Because man had sinned, he had been expelled from the Garden of Eden. God had taken cherubims. Now, cherubims are some kind of heavenly creatures. Nobody knows exactly what they are. They may be part of the angels. I don't think so myself. But anyway, they're heavenly creatures, cherubims. And these heavenly creatures were placed at the entrance to the garden. Are you listening to me now? Wake up, slap yourself. You fellows in the front row, if you don't wake up, I'm going to come down and slap you in a minute. These cherubims were placed at the Garden of Eden. Now follow me carefully. Man had sinned. When man had sinned, he was cast out of the Garden of Eden. His fellowship with God had been broken because of sin. Now there was in that Garden of Eden a tree that was called the Tree of Life. Man must not get back to that Tree of Life. If man gets back to that Tree of Life, he'll eat it and live forever. But man has no right to live forever because man has sinned. So God must keep man from that Tree of Life. Now, that tree is the secret of our entire message this morning. God must keep man from that Tree of Life. Why? Because the Bible, God has said, the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Be sure your sin will find you out. So God had placed a penalty upon sin, and that penalty was separation from God. So because man had sinned, God could not allow man to get back to the Tree of Life. If he got to the Tree of Life, he would eat of the Tree of Life and live forever. And if God let man live forever without the penalty for sin being paid, then God would be unjust. And if God is unjust, God is not God. And if God is not God, the whole universe would crumble. So God's justice required that man not get back inside that garden to that Tree of Life until his justice had been satisfied. That sin that man committed must be paid for before man can get back to that Tree of Life. Are you listening to me, young ladies? Are you listening? So man can live forever. Now then, to ensure that man did not get back, God placed at the door of the garden cherubims. I do not know what they're like. I do not know exactly what they are. They're heavenly creatures, a host of them. And God placed them there, and also God placed a flaming sword there. Why? To keep man from getting back to the garden and the Tree of Life, so he would not eat of the tree and live forever, and God would become unjust, and God would no longer be God. You listen to me, folks. God cannot. It's not a matter that God will not let you get saved without trusting Christ. It's a matter that God cannot let you get saved without trusting Christ. God cannot save you apart from his justice being met. God could not save you. God cannot save you just because you get baptized. God cannot save you just because you are religious. God cannot save you just because you join a church. God cannot save you because you're good. God's justice must be satisfied Not before God will save you, but before God can save you. He is unable to be God and let justice not be meted. So, get the picture now. Here's the Garden of Eden over here, let's say. And Adam and Eve had walked with God and fellowship with God. Now they've sinned. They were cast out of the garden over here. So God puts a flaming sword right here. And he puts a great host of people called, or of creatures called cherubim. And he puts them at the entrance of the garden. And they keep man from getting back. Brother O'Clair, come back up here and try to get back. Don't fight me, but try to get back in the Garden of Eden. But cherubim. Just let us stop you. Just stand. Okay. Now, you want to get back in. But you can't get back in. Why can't he? Come back over here. Let's get you. All right? Here's Adam in the Garden of Eden. Now, Adam sins, and he's cast out of the Garden of Eden. All right? Now, naturally, there's that tree of life right there. If he can get back to that tree of life and eat from it, he'll live forever. But if he does, God would allow man to live forever without his sin being paid for. And the whole universe, the whole framework of God's economy depends on that man staying out of that garden. So he tries to come back in. You fellows can't stand that here, would you please? All right? He tries to get back in the garden. Don't be funny. He tries to get back in the garden. And these men, come out and stop him. And these are cherubim. And they stop him. Don't be funny. He tries to get back in the garden. But he can't get back in the garden. Why? Because the tree of life is over there. And if he gets back that tree of life, he eats the tree of life, lives forever, that means that God's justice is not satisfied. And so, man cannot do it. All right, thank you, fellows. I may call you again in a minute. Now then, there comes a promise. There comes a promise in Genesis 3:15 that someday a Savior will come. The seed of woman. And that seed of woman will someday come and pay the penalty for the sin that man committed in the Garden of Eden. And when that seed of man, of woman, pays the penalty, then man can once again be readmitted to the Garden of Eden, can eat the tree of life, and live forever. Now listen to me carefully. That promise was made. The promise was made. The Savior's coming. God's justice will someday be satisfied. God's holiness and righteousness will someday be met. The garden will be open again. There was 4,000 years. There were 4,000 years of waiting. Promise after promise came. Lamb after lamb was offered, picturing the lamb that someday would come. Sacrifice after sacrifice was offered, picturing someday the sacrifice that would come. 4,000 years of waiting. Now, down on earth, a couple is going from Galilee down to Bethlehem. They're coming from Nazareth down to the Judean hills. They're coming because it's taxation time or registration time. The little wife is pregnant, though she's never had relations with her husband. The Holy Spirit has placed the seed in her womb. And Mary and Joseph ride into Bethlehem, trying to find a place to stay. They find no place. All of a sudden, somebody says, something's got to be done. She's great with child. She's about to have a baby. We've got to have a room. But there was no room. And so finally, one innkeeper said, I've got a place that's warm and from the elements in the stable. Out there in a manger or a stable, a little baby is born. Now, when that baby was born, immediately comes the first Christmas carol. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. That was the first Christmas carol. That was their silent night. That was their hark the herald angels sing. That was their joy to the world. That was the first Christmas carol. Glory to God in the highest. But now, wait a minute. Most of us haven't got the foggiest idea what that carol means. I want to take a few minutes and tell you what it means. First place, who sings it? Who sings it? this wasn't a bunch of long-haired blondes wearing white robes, carrying magic wands in their hands, coming down and singing, "Glory to God in the highest." Wasn't that all? Eat your hearts out, choir. Eat your hearts out. But no, that wasn't what this was. This, see, the angel had already come to talk to the shepherds. Now suddenly, there appears a heavenly host. And this heavenly host is exuberant with joy. And they sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." Who's singing? The cherubims are singing. Can you imagine how hard it was for them to keep man from that tree of life? Can you imagine how hard it was when they knew right there in the garden was a tree from which man could eat and live forever? But God had told these cherubims, "Don't you let him back in." Now you listen to me. You go ahead and try to go to heaven because you live a good life, but the cherubims won't let you back in. You try to get to that tree of life because you were christened as a baby or confirmed as a child, but the cherubims won't let you get back in. You come back in the Jesus way or you don't come back in at all. Those cherubims are there. They're stationed there with a flaming sword saying, "You can't get back in." But now wait a minute. Here comes the way back in. And these cherubims are singing, "We've been keeping man out for 4,000 years. And now then, the way back in has come." Actually, heaven's having a spell. These cherubims are saying, "Glory to God! We have been watching man try to get back in by baptism and try to get back in by communion and try to get back in by confession to a priest and try to get back in by the sacraments and try to get back in by joining the church and try to get back in by living a good life." And now they looked and saw in the manger and crib of Bethlehem, God in flesh, God's only acceptable sacrifice. And they said, "Glory to God in the highest." That's who sang the first Christmas carol. This is no choir of eunuchs. This is no choir of angelic blondes. This is no heavenly choir of robed pacifists. This is a choir of heavenly host, those to whom had been given from God the order of justice and righteousness being executed. Now they see in that little manger of Bethlehem, God's sacrifice has come. The Savior has now come. And these cherubims sing the first Christmas carol. But now what is the carol? What are they singing? First thing they sing is "Glory to God in the highest." Now wait a minute. They weren't saying, "Let everybody on earth say glory to God in the highest." They weren't saying that. They were talking about God having a spell. They were saying from the highest comes praises. Listen to me, folks. Oh, I wish I could get this to you. And I've tried so hard in the last 4 or 5 years to get this to you. Do you know the purpose of this whole thing is not for you and me? The purpose of this whole thing is for God. God made us as a race of people for Himself. We refuse to be for Himself. God wants us for Himself. Calvary, primarily, was God satisfying Himself so God could take us back and get us back. The happiest thing about those people watching are in Bethlehem that night with their usual, well, like folks are living in America right now. Well, how many folks have hangovers this morning because they celebrated Christmas last night in a heathen, pagan way? Christmas parties with your cocktails, there's no way to celebrate Christmas. By the way, they come as close to it as we do, most of us. Most of us don't have Jesus in our Christmas any more than the heathen do. We'll spend more time Christmas shopping than praising God. You know it's the truth. Let's face it. Why don't we get Christian for a while? You know what I'm talking about. Most of you spent more time decorating your Christmas tree than you spent with God last week. Now let's face it. But what were these cherubim singing? They were singing, God's happy now. Glory to God in the highest. You see, the Bible is God's revelation of Himself. And this baby did not primarily come so you could get to heaven. He primarily came so God could get you back. God wants you. God loves you. God made you for Himself. And God wants you for Himself. But God could not take you back unless His justice was satisfied. So God was having a spell. It's exactly what happened. This baby came in the manger and the cherubim started having a spell. And then God the Father started having a spell. But now wait a minute. What else did they sing? Glory to God in the highest. Number two, and on earth, peace. You know what they were singing? They were singing, glory to God in the highest. Now Mr. Reagan and Mr. Garbage Mouth can get together. Is every time we ought to have peace with each other, it's Christmas time. They weren't talking about that. Well, let's learn to get along with each other. And we ought to get along with each other. But they weren't talking about that. The whole country is cattywampus. I mean, Jesus didn't come so you and your old man could quit fussing for 2 weeks. It would be a good hiatus. Jesus didn't come so nations would beat their swords of plowshares. Listen, Jesus did not come primarily to bring peace between man and man. Jesus came to bring peace between God and man. That's what it's all about. Oh, the world knows nothing about this. He didn't come so you'd learn to get along with each other. He didn't come so there'd be no more wars. He didn't come saying, be kind to everybody. That's not the peace He was talking about. He was saying, now then, on earth, there can be peace. Peace between man and his God. And the only peace that you'll ever find between man and his God is because of that little baby in Bethlehem. And so when those angels sang, and then the great host of cherubims began to sing also, as shepherds watched their flocks by night, and the first Noel was sung by these cherubims, these justice preservers, these justice enforcers, they were saying, peace on earth! Peace with whom? Peace with God! The old story, and everybody's told it and everybody's heard it, but it illustrates exactly what I'm talking about. An old lady was dying. She was just about to pass over the other side. They called the pastor to come because nobody knew the old lady very well. And a pastor came to the bedside of the old lady who was dying. And he said, quick, ma'am, you're dying. I must tell you, you're dying. Have you made your peace with God? And she said, no, I haven't. He said, then you better hurry. You're dying. Have you made your peace with God? She said, no, I haven't. He said, listen carefully. Would you receive Christ as your Savior? He told her the gospel. And she looked up and she said, sir, I've done that. He said, you told me you had not made your peace with God. Now you say that you're saved. She said, that's exactly right. She said, Reverend, I could not make my peace with God. Jesus made my peace with God. Jesus made my peace with God. That's exactly what these cherubims were singing. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, He did not come. He didn't come to cause men to put their swords to plowshares, their spears to pruning hooks. The truth is, sometimes God tells nations to pick up their arms and defend peace and righteousness. He did not come to make a United Nations. He did not come to make a League of Nations. He did not come so there would not be war on earth. He came so man, fallen, lost, hellbound, unsaved, wretched, unkempt, could find peace with God through the peacemaker, that child of Bethlehem. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Now you listen to me. You get swept up in Christmas time, before you know it, we Baptists get sedated. We get tranquilized in this liberal Christmas. Bless your little pea-picking heart. This thing that Jesus came so Gorbachev and Reagan could get together and try to bring peace on earth, that is not the book. Jesus came not so man could have peace with each other. He came so man could have peace with his God. Because he full well knew that if man accepts peace with God, he'll have peace with his fellow man. That's what the first Noel was. I'm going to tell you something. Here's what man needs. Here's what man needs. Man needs peace with God. Man needs peace with God. You won't find that peace with God in the Catholic Church, Episcopalian Church, Baptist Church, Methodist Church, Church of Christ, Christian Scientists, Assembly of God. You won't find it there. You'll find peace with God in the babe of Bethlehem. God's only sacrifice acceptable for man to get back to that Garden of Eden and eat of that Tree of Life. Oh, I'm so sick of, I'll be honest with you, I'm sick of Christmas. Sick of the sedation. I said here a while ago this morning, and I said to myself, we're sedated. We're absolutely tranquilized. We are mesmerized. The whole world talks about Jesus coming to bring peace. But nobody understands what that peace was. That peace was a peace so God could accept man back to himself. And man could be restored to his original relationship with his God. And God's justice would be satisfied. And when that little baby came, all of a sudden these cherubims, who for 4,000 years had been guarding the Tree of Life, all of a sudden these cherubims realized that that's the thing that will get man back to the Tree of Life. We won't have to do this anymore. They sang, glory to God in the highest, and God sang with them. And they sang, now then, man can have peace with his God through Jesus Christ. Don't you let somebody hoodwink you into telling you can go to heaven when you die because you take a little piece of bread and put it on your tongue and take a little juice and pour it down your gizzard. And because you go to a telephone booth and tell somebody what you've done in the last week that's not right, don't you get hoodwinked into that kind of heresy. You've got to come to a personal relationship with that baby in the Bethlehem. You've got to realize he came to make your peace with God. You can't make your peace with God. I can't make your peace with God. The rabbi can't make your peace with God. The priest can't make your peace with God. The pope can't make your peace with God. The Savior has already made your peace with God. That's the first Noel. The first Noel. What is it? Cherubims singing. Here's the way back. And now that man over there who's been kicked from the Garden of Eden, expelled from the Garden of Eden, who wants to get back, but these cherubims keep him from getting back. Now, blessed be God, there comes the God-man. There's Genesis 3:15. That's what they were saying. There's Genesis 3:15. There's the virgin-born son of Isaiah 7:14. There is the promised Christ child. There he is. There's the hope. There's the peace. There's the Prince of Peace. But as Prince of Peace, he didn't come as Prince of making peace between nations. He came as Prince of Peace to make peace between God and man. There's the third thing in this first Noel. Who sang it? Cherubims. First stanza, glory to God in the highest. Second stanza, on earth, peace. Third stanza, goodwill toward men. What does that mean? So God could be in a good humor? No. We're so shallow. Now God, big fat granddaddy up in heaven, built like Keith and me, can look down and say, I'm so happy my son came to earth. That's not what he's talking about. When it says on earth peace, goodwill toward men, that's not talking about on earth peace, goodwill toward men toward men. It's talking about on earth peace, goodwill now then from God toward men. The word means, in the Greek, it means well pleased. God now can execute goodwill toward men. because God is well pleased with this Savior who came to pay the penalty for sin. And now God is pleased. Fellows, get back up here again. Brother O'Clair, get over here. Now watch me carefully. I want you first. Come over here. Fellows, make a way for him to get through there. He's in the Garden of Eden. But now he's sinned. And God expels him from that garden. Brother, however, you be back. You're going to be God here. All right, you fellows. Okay, God expels in that garden. Now then the fellowship is broken. He can't live forever. He'll die and go to hell unless he can get back to the tree. That tree back inside here. He's got to get to that tree. Come on, fellow. He's got to get... That's okay. Just stay with that, I guess. He's got to get to that tree back there. And God has put these cherubims here. Now man has sinned, expelled from the Garden of Eden. If he lives forever, he's got to get to that tree. He tries to go back. And they hold their hands up and stop him. He stopped with the cherubims. Why? God has told them to stop him. Why? Because he can't get back to that tree and eat the tree of life and live forever until God's justice is satisfied. 4,000 years, they held it up. 4,000 years, God's holiness was not satisfied. Every little turtle dove, every lamb, every pigeon, every bullock, every ram that was offered on the sacrifice, every holy day, every holy season, every holy garment worn by the priesthood pointed that someday Jesus would come. Someday God himself would come to earth. And he alone would be able to make peace between God and man so man could get back inside. And so there came 4,000 years later an humble young man and a sweet Jewish maiden to Bethlehem. Poor, trying to find a place where they could have the baby delivered. God had placed the seed in the womb of Mary, and that man there, Joseph, had never known her. And don't you be hoodwinked to this stuff that says Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph. Joseph was not one of Jesus' parents. No, he was just the one that helped to rear him. Joseph was not the father of Jesus. The Holy Spirit placed that seed in Mary's womb. And now these cherubim look down, and they look to that manger. And they see finally God's promise of Genesis 3:15 coming to earth. And these cherubims begin to sing, holler at glory to God in the highest. And on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Say it.
Glory to God in the highest. And on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
You can tell how happy they are about that. Now what were they saying? They were saying, God, aren't you happy today? We are. We don't have to stand here and guard man from living forever anymore. Jesus has come. And God, that makes us happy. Aren't you happy? And God has a spell up in heaven because now then he can take man back because the Christ child has come. And after a while will pay for the sins of man, enabling God to take him back. 33 homesick years from then. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And those same little cuddly hands and fat baby hands that are there in that crib in Bethlehem are now pierced with thorns. And through those little chubby hands, so sweet, held by the mama there in Bethlehem's manger, those chubby hands, there comes the blood of the Son of God himself. And that little brow that she strokes there as the baby is born, as the proud mother, knowing this is God incarnate and she is the one that brought forth God's only Son, she reaches and strokes his little brow. That same brow. Now then, she stands and watches from the cross. This same mother who stroked his brow back yonder 33 years ago now stands at the foot of the cross and looks up, and she sees the crown of thorns piercing that brow. That little body for which she took probably her own garment and covered that little body in the manger of Bethlehem. And that little body that leaned toward her breast and suckered from its mother's breast. That little body now is beaten with a cat of nine tails. and that those little lips that moved and spoke their first words to mommy back in just a few months, those little lips now are crying, "Oh my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And blessed be God, God incarnate went to the cross, and God incarnate looked down and took your sins and my sins in His own body and paid my penalty and yours fully on your church joining, fully on your good deeds, fully on your confessional, fully on your confirmation, fully on your being baptized for salvation, fully on your trust in your sacrament. Look up! Jesus is dying on the cross. That baby of Bethlehem has now become the Lamb of God. Bless God, the first Christmas carol is sung. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And these cherubim step back. The man walks through and takes of the tree of life and eats it. Take of the tree of life and eats of the tree of life. And now he can live forever, and God opens his arms to him. And man comes back to God. How did man get back to God? Listen to me. Listen to me. The man that stands up and says you can go to heaven because I give you a little piece of Holy Eucharist is a deceiver. You say, "You're ruining my Christmas. You believe the gospel I'm preaching right now, it'll make your Christmas." Man that tells you to confess your sins to him is a deceiver. The first Noel was sung by these cherubims guarding the tree of life, because now they see in Bethlehem's manger the only one who ever can cause them to open the gates of the Garden of Eden and let man get back in. Now you listen to me. That way is open this morning. It's open. There are no cherubims there guarding it. Unless you try to get back to that tree of life any other way except the Jesus way. If you ever live forever, and you listen to me, you say, "Well, I'm not a Baptist and we don't believe like the Baptists." You better believe like the Bible and forget the Baptists and the Catholics and Presbyterians and Methodists and everybody else. I'm not trying to give you the Baptist way. I'm trying to get you the Jesus way. If you ever get back to that tree of life and live forever, you've got to come through that little baby of Bethlehem. That's what the first Noel was. The first Noel was not a bunch of pacifist angels with smiles on their faces and saying, "Well, now then, here comes a little baby that's going to teach us to all to get along with each other forever. And here comes a little baby that's going to cause Mr. Khrushchev, Mr. Garbage Mouth and Mr. Reagan to get together and sign a treaty so we can have no more atomic warfare." That's what this is. No, he didn't come for that. Jesus Christ did not come so nations would be at peace. Jesus Christ did not come so people would be at peace. Jesus came so God and man would be at peace with each other. And when that peace was made possible, only then can man find his way back to the tree of life and live forever. But I want to tell you, serve notice to you this morning, that tree of life is available to you today. You can live forever. But you won't live forever because you decide to live a good life. I walk up, let me have this mic right here. I woke up this morning and I say, "I have lived a good life. I want to get to that tree of life." I go back and I say to myself, "I've got to get to that tree of life." Listen, everybody wants to live forever. If you ever came out with a pill that you could take and never die, brother, I'd kid you to get to it first. And we'd all take it, wouldn't we? All right? So I said, "Oh, my soul, I know what I'll do. I'll confess my sins to a priest. And I'll confess them. Then I'll say, I want to get to that tree of life." And all of a sudden, I'm blocked again. And I said, "Okay, I'll get baptized. And that'll do it." And I walk back, and I've got to get to that. And I'm blocked again. "Well, I'll take the sacraments. I'll take the sacraments. And that'll get me." Oops, and I'm blocked again. And then one day, I come and hear an old-fashioned hellfire and brimstone preacher who preaches a sermon that ruins your sweet little unscriptural Christmas. And a hellfire and brimstone preacher tells you something, and you come down to the altar,
and you get on your knees right here, and you say, "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't get back to the tree of life because of what I do. But I know that Jesus came to Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And I know that after 33 homesick years from heaven, He went to the cross. On the cross, He paid the penalty for my sins. And I accept Him personally as my hope for heaven. And then I'd come and I'll say, I've got to get to that tree of life." And I walk right by and eat of that tree and live forever. Now, you better forget your religious heritage. You better forget your racial heritage. You better forget your denominational heritage. And you better stop and thinking about your eternal heritage through Christ. Thank God for Bethlehem. And thank God for the first Noel, when that multitude of heavenly hosts designated by Jehovah God to guard man from the tree of life in the garden until God's justice could be satisfied, looked at Bethlehem and saw the baby. And the multitude of heavenly hosts began to sing, "Glory to God in the highest." Because now, on earth, God has made peace between man and Himself. And now God exerts His goodwill toward man. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the first Noel.